Good morning. We've spent the last month or so talking about one another. We're going to spend January and February talking about that. So when John asked me to preach, he says, you know, we've done about half of those, so we've got about another half to go, so I'll let you pick. So to be honest with you, I said, well, I'm going to pick the easiest one. I'm going to figure out what the easiest one is, and that's the one I'm going to pick. Well, when you get in a situation like this, it usually ends up backfiring on you. I said, well, what could I do? See, John talked about forgiveness. That's a big one. He talked about that one last week. That was good. I think he talked about love one another, and there's a couple others here. I said, I could talk about teaching. I don't want to do that. Confessing, no, not really. So I said, okay, I'm going to pick edify. So usually when you prepare these sermons, you think you're going to come up with a great sermon, and the crowds will clap and applaud for you. There'll be revival. And really at the end, as you get into this thing and you study and you open it up and you say, oh, this is convicting. You end up preaching to yourself. So I'll be preaching to myself today just to let you know so y'all can be the audience and watch me preach to myself. But we're going to talk about what it means to edify or edification. And wanted to spend some time in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look at verses starting in chapter 25. Now there's some other verses hopefully we'll come back to at the first part of Ephesians that will come in handy in a little bit. But want to take some look at the last part of that chapter starting in verse 25. Ephesians 4, 25. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you, with your neighbor. For we are members of one another. Be angry, but yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather must labor performing what his own hands, what is good, so that he will have something to share with one who is in need. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word that is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were settled for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. So as we look at Ephesians, we see it bring about this word of edification. And as we look at this edification, when we look for a definition for edification, if you look up on the dictionary or on the internet somewhere, you find out that to edify means it's a verb. And it means to instruct or benefit, especially morally or spiritually, to uplift. Also, it could mean instructive or informative in a way that improves the mind or character. I wrote these words down as I thought about what it means to edify. It means to build up, to rise up, or to raise up, to lift up, to make better. The problem you have with edification is that in order for me to edify, is that I have to convey information. In order for me to convey information, I have to use words, either spoken or written. And oh, what a world of trouble we can get in with our words, can't we? So we need to be careful. And just wanted to encourage you, wanted to look at three things today. This is an easy subject to talk about. It's not oh so easy to do. So I'm in the same trap that you are. We know what to do sometimes, but we won't do that. But I did want to look at this about what it means, what our words mean. What we should use our words, and that's how do we build people up with it? How do we use that? So I wanted to look at some verses here. It says, my words can build up or tear down. My words convey life or death. So let's look at Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So we're talking about power here, right? So you have the power of life or death in your tongue. And I've used it both ways. I've used it to build up and tear down. And it leaves a bad taste in your mouth when you tear down with your words. Let's take a look at a couple other verses and we'll come back to talking some more about edifying. Let's look at James 3. James 3 verses 5 and 6. It says, "So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell." So our words and our tongue can be used for destruction here. But let's take a look at those earlier verses in Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 13. "And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up," or for the edification, "for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of stature, which belongs to the fullness of Christ." So this process of edification is to bring us about a maturity and to bring about the fullness of Christ, as it says here in these verses in Ephesians. So we know that in order for us to edify, we're going to have to use our words. And those words can be spoken, they can be written, they can be texted, they can be tweeted, they can be Snapchat, book chat, slapjack, IHOP, MeHop. I don't know what you do with these words. But we come in contact with a million encounters of words and advertisements every day, don't we? So it should give you some gravity and maybe some sobriety to realize you have the power of life and death with the words you use. That should encourage you to give a word that will build up and not tear down. That's what these verses are talking about. So I want you to think about in the process of day and edification and the process of using our words, how do we build up or how do we tear down? So we talked about what the word is and what edification is and what we can do with it. So we've got two simple things. I'm going to talk about what you need to stop doing and talk about what you need to start doing. They're easy to talk about. We'll see if they're easy to implement. Let's take a look at what we need to stop tearing down. We need to stop tearing down with our words. In other words, ask yourself in the process of edifying, is what I have to say, is it truthful? Is it useful? And does it edify or is it edifying? Is it just information for information's sake? Is it information to use as a club against somebody? So is what I have to say, though truthful, harmful? So even though it may be truthful, are we using it to build up or to tear down? So you say, well, that's just the truth. You have to deal with it. That's not edification. That's not edifying. That's using words for your own means to create your own outcome. And another question I have for is what I have to say relevant to the building up of the kingdom of God? Got awful quiet in here, didn't it? But I told you, I'm preaching to myself. So we can use these words to build up. We have these opportunities. We encounter everybody every day. So we need to stop using our words to tear down. So who are we using these words with? Well, who do we see every day? Those that are nearest and dearest. What can a kind word do for you in your house? What can a kind word do for you when you're talking to your spouse? You're talking to your child. You know, it's interesting watching sports, and I'm picking on somebody. There's some coaches in here. I don't want to pick on you personally, but some of you parents keep coaching after the game's over. The game's over. They lost. They're in the car. The game's over. They lost. And dad's in the car, still coaching. If you'd have caught that pass, if you'd made that shot 20 times, we could have won the game. And if you're the kid, all you want to do is go eat somewhere. Dad, can we go to Whataburger? No, son, Whataburger's for winners. We get McDonald's today. But there's a time to coach and there's a time to build up and lift up. But I've seen parents keep coaching after the game's over. The game's over, let it go. Let it go. So we need to use our words that are going to build up and lift up and encourage one another. So likewise is that you can use a kind word to head off arguments, to head off things. You could say a kind word to your spouse when you're still waking up and hadn't had your morning coffee and you really just want to say, leave me alone. You could say, I'm glad you're here today. But I do want to talk about something that will destroy everything that we do. It's this thing that we call anger. It talks about a little bit here about what verse was that? Was that verse 29? It says, be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. So it tells me here, do not let the sun go down on anger, is that we're dealing with that pretty quickly. But be angry and yet do not sin. Now, y'all can come talk to me after church if you want to. But I'm going to tell you, I'll bet you a dollar to donuts. If you're angry, you're probably sinning. And I'll say that from personal experience. If I'm angry, I'm probably sinning. Is that I've never been angry. They talk about righteous indignation. You talk about Jesus right there. I'm not Jesus. I can't do that. So usually I try to avoid anger. Maybe that's a little overstep there, but usually anger is something I try to give over to God. It's not that I don't give angry, but I try to deal with it quickly. I try to say, sick 'em, Jesus, and give my anger over to God and let Jesus take care of it. And I wasn't always like that. And I'm telling you, that's not easy to do. But if you spent years of building a relationship, that anger can stop that relationship in just a matter of a few seconds. And you're back to ground zero and you're back to rebuilding. So ask God, if you're angry, ask God to deal with your anger. Realize that He's the righteous one. He's the one who can deal with anger righteously. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't get to get anything. That's God's work. And by you giving over to God and letting God have His vengeance, He's working on you also. Lest you think I've overstepped here, let's look at verse 31 out of Ephesians. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. So we get into this thing of edifying, and we come to the crossroads of we got to deal with words, and we got to use words to build up and not tear down. Well, I'm on slippery ground. I'm sure you're right behind me, probably grabbing at my heel, pulling me down. But we need to make sure that we are dealing with our anger in a way that God would consider righteous. And I'm here to tell you that we just have to surrender to God and let Him have His way with us and let Him have His way with our enemies. So we've talked about the things we need to stop doing. We need to stop tearing people down. We need to ask ourselves, is it truthful? Is it useful? Is it edifying? Is what I say, though truthful, useful, or is it harmful? Is what I have to say relevant to the building up of the kingdom of God? And then we must deal with our anger. Ephesians 4 and James 1, 19 and 20 tell us we have to deal with our anger. And anger will undo all the work that we've worked on if we don't deal with that. So now let's talk about start building up with our words. Think of the life-giving capacity you have in your speech, in your words, in your text, in your kindness. Be intentional in your words and deeds, to which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Verse 13. So the purpose in us edifying is to bring about the fullness of Christ. And then finally, if you don't feel like it and you don't want to, and they don't deserve a kind word, and they looked at you funny, we're commanded to love our neighbors. John talked a few weeks ago about loving one another. We're still trying to find that verse that says like one another, but he does say we need to love one another. But it says, love your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to love one another. We must find ways to edify our neighbor, our family, and our body of Christ. He talks about in Matthew, had a fellow come ask, what is the greatest commandment? It says, the greatest commandment is love your Lord and God with all your heart, body, soul, spirit. And the second one is like this, Matthew 29:39. The second is like this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to encourage you to find ways that you can edify this week. I'm not saying it's easy and I'm not saying it's natural, but think about what a kind word can do to you. Think about how people have encouraged you in your past, even as a child. It could have been a teacher. It could have been a coach. It could have been a mentor. It could have been a family member that said a kind word to you. It may not mean anything to them. They were just being nice to you, but it meant everything to you. So think about the capacity you have. You have the ability to speak life into that person. You have the ability to build that person up, to edify them for the goodness of building their character and building their lives. So let's find ways that we can lift each other up, that we can use our words, whether it be in notes or texts or whatever it is. So we need to encourage one another. We need to edify one another. We need to build each other up. And that's going to mean we use our words, and we use our words wisely. We need to stop tearing down. It's easy, and I do the same thing. There's conversations my wife and I have about certain things, about certain people that I don't have with anybody else. But it's said, and it's over with, and it's done. We don't dwell on it. We don't get in the trap of trying to tear people down and just dogpiling on them. That's no good. So we need to stop tearing down. You know, your kids don't need a life coach. They need a parent. They need somebody who wants to love them, who wants to build them up. I'm not telling you not to deal with character issues. Certainly you have to deal with that. But they don't need to know why they missed every basket they shot or why they fumbled a football or why they didn't catch a ball. They need somebody who's going to build up in their life. They need a safe place when they pull up in the driveway and walk in your door and get under your roof. They know it's a safe place. They know it's a place that they're going to be lifted up. They know that it's a place that they're going to be built up. They know that that's a place that they can rest and be restored. And those living waters that God gives us will restore our souls. So make sure that you have a house that is not tearing people down, but building people up. So let's stop tearing people down and start building up. Well, this sounds pretty easy and sounds pretty ridiculous. But think about it in your own life. Who are those people who built up in your life that they may not even know you said a kind word to them? I've had people come to me after teaching and preaching and all the stuff I've done and said, do you remember when you said? And almost all the time I said, I don't remember saying that. I don't remember saying that. But if we do our due diligence in trying to find words that will build people up and trying to find those people that are friends and family and even our enemies to find ways to build them up, God will edify our houses, our homes, and the body of Christ as we see here. Just yesterday, my daughter called from Atlanta and talked to my wife. She didn't need money, so she didn't talk to me. But she talked to my wife, and she explained this situation that was, she encountered somebody that had done everything possible to destroy her academic and professional or musical career. And this person came and saw her yesterday and said, "Hi, Sarah, how are you doing?" Well, you can imagine how that encounter went. But my daughter had purposely sought not to burn bridges, had purposely avoided saying certain things. And that relationship may be restored. We'll see how that turns out. But that was a God thing. That was certainly something that she wasn't expecting. It was certainly something that she felt that she probably would have to encounter in the future. She just didn't need to know the future was going to be yesterday. But she did have found ways that she used her words in the past to build up and not to tear down. She used her words to build a bridge and not to burn a bridge. And we still see God working in that situation to see him being glorified. Now, if that would have been me, I would have got out gasoline, kerosene, napalm, matches, fireworks. It would look like Rusty's house on 4th of July. We would have torched that bridge. But my daughter didn't do that. And so we need to think about what we say and how we say it and who we're doing it to. And think about how we want to be spoken to. There's people I know in my life that when I see them, I want to talk to them because I know they're going to speak life into me. I know things are going to be good. I know when I saw Johnny Payne, my life was going to get better. She had a kind word to say to me. She saw stuff in me I didn't even see in myself. And there's other people I see that it's like, where's my phone at? I got to pretend I'm on the phone. I don't want to talk to them. I'm busy, you know. But you want to be that person that builds up. You want to be that person that when people see you, as they know that you're going to speak into their life, they know that, hey, how are you doing today? What's God doing in your life today? How can I pray for you? I know things have been tough for you. I know we hadn't always seen things eye to eye. I know we may disagree about something. But I want to lift you up because you're a brother or sister in Christ. So like I say, this is an easy sermon to put about. It's an easy sermon to talk about. It's not so easy to implement, is it? So I can talk to you about the lecture. I can come and give you the 3 points for everything I talk about here. But when we get to the laboratory, when we walk out that door and we pull our phones out and we post on Facebook about how so-and-so is a rotten person or this did that or post that, when the laboratory comes, that's when the hard part comes. So let's think about what we're doing and how we're doing it. Let's think about how we post, and is that going to bring a good light and edify one another? Let's think about how we text one another. Let's think about how we talk to one another. This is a kind word can turn away wrath. So you have that ability. You have that ability in you is that in our mouth is a word of life or death. So I want y'all to consider, as you go through this week, even today, this starts today. This could even start before I get through preaching, because I know some of y'all got your phones out, playing Pokemon Go or something on there. But anyway, this can start today. You can change the way you use your words. You can change how you reach out to people. You can change how you talk to people. You can figure out how can I edify that person. Why would I want somebody to send to me to build me up? You know there's people you see and you know that it's going to be gloom and doom every time they talk. Don't be that person. Be the person that's going to be life, life-giving. So I challenge you today as you go today is that you text one person, send a note to somebody, write a note to your spouse, tell them how important they are, tell them what they've done in your life, what they mean to you. Don't let the day go by without telling somebody they're important to you. That's one way you can start edifying. Let them know that they're important to you. Let them know that you care about them, and let them know that you're there to help them. So I encourage you As we look at Ephesians 4:29 here, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Woo, it could stop there. That's tough right there, but let's keep going. But only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. So the word of edification, if I can say it, the word of edification here is a timely. It comes in the need of the moment. And so that it will give grace to those who hear. So what if you don't feel like it? What's your motivation to edify one another? Well, God demonstrates his love to us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. It tells us in Romans 5:8. I can't stand up here without knowing that there's a Savior who cared about me when I didn't care about him. I can only talk to you about these things and encourage you to edify one another because I have a Savior that saved a poor, wretched, dark soul like mine. And he'll save your soul too. So our encouragement is that if we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is that we are commanded to love our neighbor and to reach out to them. Maybe even when we don't feel like it, we can still say a kind word. We don't feel like it, we can still edify them. When we don't feel like it, we can use our words to build up and not tear down. And eventually, when we recognize who Christ is and what he saved us from and how undeserving our salvation is, we will rejoice and we can't help but edify one another. Let us pray. Father God, I come to you today, Father, as one who's weak and weary and tired, one who needs your encouragement, Father, one who needs your motivation, Father. I pray that you encourage me to use my words to build up and not tear down. Oh, how I've used my words to tear people down, Father, to tear them up, to give no regard to them, Father. I pray that you will give me a heart that will edify my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that you will give me a heart that will edify and lift up those who don't know you, Father. That you will continue to lead and guide me and give me a heart that seeks after Christ and his righteousness, Father. I pray that my words, whether they're written or spoken or implied, that they will build up. That I encourage a person because you've encouraged me, Father. Because you saved me from myself, Father. You saved me from my sin. You saved me from hell and damnation, Father. And I pray that that will give me the hope and the joy and the peace and the presence to encourage one another, Father, knowing full well that it's Christ and his redemptive work that has saved me. It's in your name. Amen.